Welcome to Women in Cybersecurity. I'm pleased to be here with Helen Patton. Helen, it's so great to have you. I've been a longtime follower of yours on Twitter.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, for those who don't know, her tag is CISO Helen, and she's definitely one to follow. So I want to start off with how you got into cybersecurity. What got you into this field?
Everything about my career is just a series of accidents and unexpected opportunities. So early 90s was sort of the rise of the personal computer sitting on desktops in offices. And I worked for a consulting company that installed accounting software in small businesses, actually. And in that role, I got to do basic networking. I spent more hours than I want to admit with floppy disks in my hands, inserting, 20 Windows 95 floppy disks into computers. And then I moved from the consulting company to supporting infrastructure for a company. So I ran a help desk. We were running desktop support. We were running network support and basic data center. And it was the end of the 90s. We started to see a lot of worms being introduced, the I love you viruses, the Melissa worms. We were dealing with Y2K. And I was running an infrastructure team for a software development company at the time, reporting to the CIO. And he said, oh, we need a disaster recovery plan. And so he asked me to begin a disaster recovery program for this company. And I moved from there to JP Morgan doing disaster recovery business continuity. And as always happens, there was a merger and an acquisition there too. My boss at the time, who was running a security team, left and they offered me his job. So accident to get into IT, accident to get into disaster recovery, and accident to get in security, but really great opportunities, all three.
So tell me a little bit about your studies and education. Does that shape what you do today?
It sure does. So from an undergrad, a high school perspective, so I went to high school, took a gap year because that's what Australians do, ended up living in the United States, ended up getting a job, and I was never a traditional student. So I was always full-time working adult, did school part-time for a long time, took me about 15 years to get my undergrad degree, which ended up being in business administration. And then when I became the CISO at The Ohio State University, I had the opportunity to do a master's degree as part of my employee benefits there in public policy with a focus on technology policy. As a CISO, I've tended to lean more towards governance, risk and compliance kinds of functions more than, say, software development, although background in tech. But I also geek out on security policy a lot. So I spend my hobby time keeping track of regulations that are coming in, policy changes that are happening around the globe and so forth. So yeah, it's been really influential in my education's very influential in my career.
Can you tell us about kind of when you transitioned into cybersecurity and when you became CISO at Ohio State, what were your priorities for the CISO role?
So I took the job as CISO at Ohio State when I moved from JP Morgan to Ohio State. OSU at the time had a security team. They had experienced a really big breach in 2010, and I joined in 2013. So they were in the early stages of building a security program. So when I first joined, it was really about evaluating what they had, what they didn't have, but they needed, understanding the risk profile of the organization and what the organization was willing to pay for in terms of security and not. So over the 8 years I was there, we grew the team. We tripled the size of the team. We tripled the size of the budget. We introduced a lot of functionality security-wise that didn't exist before. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like a lot of companies, they were going through a cloud transformation as well. So some of the stuff I introduced in 2013, we got rid of halfway through my tenure there because it no longer seemed to make sense to keep it. So when you're in a role like a CISO role and you're there for 8 years, which is a pretty long time, sometimes you get to do things over and sometimes you get to do things completely new. And it was a great role to have.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you were also just willing to adapt versus just being tied to things because that's the way things were.
That's always the way things are. And in higher education, you get to play in a lot of spaces. There's a lot of different kinds of technologies. We're subject to pretty much every regulation that you can possibly imagine. because we have hospitals and we have we're regulated like a bank, and we have PCI and we have all of those things. So I got to play in a lot of areas, which made the job super interesting. Yeah, it was a great job.
And then you moved to a vendor company. So what was it like to move from being a CISO to going to a vendor and as an advisory CISO in that type of role? Tell me about that and that role at Duo.
Can I tell you the, I'd never worked on the vendor side for security before. Mm-hmm. It was eye-opening to me in terms of how much technical expertise goes into deciding what needs to be in a security product and what the industry needs and what our customers need. I have a huge amount of respect for people who are trying to do security product management, because it isn't an easy job to do at all. But what the role gave me personally is the ability not just to be for Ohio State or for higher education, but to have a global footprint, to be able to see things globally, to really be able to understand what the industry trends are that are happening across the globe, and to be able to then sort of apply my operational expertise and my operational experience to what I'm seeing in terms of trends, and to be able to sort through what I think is useful, what I think has legs, what do I think is just a buzzword, and to be able to try and make sense of it. And that's something that when you're in the hot seat of an operational role, you don't often have time to do that kind of stuff. So it's really an opportunity for me to be able to provide a service to the industry because I've got the time to do that reflection and analysis, which I really found quite rewarding.
Yeah, I think it's great when vendors make that kind of investment to hire CISOs and practitioners, because they really have a good understanding of what customers need. So now at Cisco, what are your key priorities?
Well, Cisco had purchased Duo when I joined the organization. So I'm still in the same role that I started in. So I've been in role now for about 18 months. My priorities tend to be a reflection of what's concerning the market. So we've got things going on right now around supply chain security. Thank you very much, SolarWinds. Tactically, how do you deal with an SBOM? How do you create one? How do you consume one if you're on the receiving end of one? So right now, priorities around not just supply chain, but how do we improve the community overall? Where does it make sense? It's how can we as a community help little organizations or open source software components that don't have a lot of resources themselves to do security really well? And this is where I get to use my policy background quite a bit, right? What would the industry policy statements need to be to help us all be better at security is something that I'm sort of playing around with right now, which is huge fun for me, but hopefully beneficial for everybody else.
Yeah, definitely. It's not a lot of people have that access to expertise, and so many companies are trying to figure out how to scale. So getting that access to experts and former CISOs is really valuable. So I want to ask you, this is something we ask everybody for the series, is are there any challenges that you've ever faced in your career, either now or at other stages in your career, and how have you overcome them?
One of the common challenges I've had, and a lot of people I've spoken to, is just staying on top of the mountain of information and the huge speed of change that we've got going on in the industry. It's really easy to feel like you don't know enough or to feel like you're being left behind. And I've certainly felt that in my own job. And as I move from role to role, I start a job thinking I don't know half what I need to know as when I'm beginning. So I deal with that in a few ways. One, I'm constantly taking time intentionally to learn something new, something that might be relevant to my job, but maybe that's something that's sort of way out there, right? So, you know, you might be doing identity and access management right now, but you might go out and spend a little bit of time understanding what quantum encryption is all about, because you just never know when you're going to bump into it, right? So there's those kinds of things. Being part of a community of security people is really important. Like, I can't understate how important it is to have a network of people. The network of people will help you with your training, with your learning. They'll bring new experiences and new ways of doing things to your thinking, but they can also help put your mind at ease that you don't need to know everything actually, and that the stuff you do have in your head is valid, right? I think it's a real mentoring support perspective, which can help with burnout. So one, self-paced learning, two, networking for sure. The third is knowing when to say no to things. So at some point, you've got to put boundaries around where you're willing to spend your time. And that then helps you focus more deeply on the things that are important to you. So being clear about what you are going to focus on and what you're not is another strategy to consider.
Yeah, that's great. And that, like I said before, I've been following you and I get a lot of useful information, and also following, I know you work with Wendy Nather. She's another great source. Right. I always learn so much from that wonderful cybersecurity network and friends in the field. So what advice do you have for others, especially aspiring CISOs or CISOs who like working with security vendors?
Oh boy, those are two different questions.
Yeah.
I think for anybody who's thinking about being a CISO, I'd encourage them to be really clear about why they do security. Why security? Why this industry? Why this job? Why this company? Why now? Be really clear about that, and then be prepared to share that as broadly as possible, not just with your immediate team or your immediate stakeholders, but with the community at large. We have a lot of people in security that sort of accidentally get there, like I did. But if you're going to stay and thrive, I think you've got to be really intentional and know why it is that you do what you do. So that's my advice for new CISOs. In terms of working with vendors, I think, again, similar to networking, be intentional about the vendors that you have and take the time to invest in the relationship with the vendors. I think one of the things I see across the industry is a lot of us have lots of tools, but we're not getting everything we can out of those tools. And we're not leveraging the relationships well enough. The vendors typically have access to a whole bunch of customers, and they can bring insight into your own individual security program and strategy that you may not have been able to find for yourself. So leverage your vendors to be an extra part of your team as much as you possibly can.
Absolutely. Yes, that partnership is really crucial. And right. We always encourage our clients to make sure they're really in touch with their customers and their pain points and how they can help them. So, yep. And are there any resources that you'd like to share for our audience?
Sure. So I would be remiss. I wrote a book. It's called Navigating the Cybersecurity Career Path. Feel free to check it out. I like listening to podcasts, actually. So for me, things like Darknet Diaries, Risky Biz, anything done by Hacker Valley Studios is usually really well done. The Cyber Ranch podcast. There is a lot happening there that you can, you know, plug in while you're driving to and from work or walking the dog or where, you know, wherever you've got sort of time with headphones on at the gym that can be really useful in terms of, again, getting a broad perspective about what's going on in the industry, as well as a little bit of historical perspective as well. Sometimes we think we're dealing with these issues and it's brand new. And most of the time I find actually these issues have been around for a really long time, and it helps to remember that every once in a while.
Yeah, that's great. It's always a good question that I like to ask people is there's a lot of things that stay the same, but things are also evolving. So definitely we'll be sharing those links in the blog post. So please do check them out. And Helen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
And be sure to sign up to follow the series for more great stories from women in cybersecurity. Thanks for joining, and we'll see you next time.